League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Oh, yeah, you've been hearing this theme a lot lately during the big tournament that's ongoing. We're down to the Sweet 16. My bracket actually looks pretty good.
No, I do not think so. Come on, you're just trying to impress Adam Zilker. I know better. Looking at it. Yeesh.
Let me, I'll phrase it this way then, as we bring our good buddy Adam Zilker of CBS Sports into our Dreamland of Barbecue guest hotline. Out of the thousands and thousands, and literally, that is a true statement, yes. Adam, on our bracket contest that we have each and every year, yours truly is at this moment about 450 spots higher than Barry McKnight. That's all I'm going to say.
And that would also be thousands and thousands of spots ahead of yours truly. Ooh, I have never done worse.
You know, I got to ask you about this. Adam, of course, riding herd on CBS Sports coverage of March Madness and the NCAA tournament, doing a great job. They say, Adam, that the 2017 tournament so far, amongst all the platforms and the digital consumption, this is the most watched NCAA tournament in a quarter century. I think a lot of it has to do with you, but do you have any hypotheses about this? It's been some great basketball for sure.
We have more people than ever living. I think it's on four channels, and so it's everywhere, and people can see it on their second screens. You can watch one game on your TV and another one on your computer or iPad, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So one person can end up counting as two people, and it's you know, it's wild. And doing the updates, which I guess is what you were alluding to, but doing the updates has been a real treat. And the funniest thing I got was a text message from Greg Gumbel, because Greg had worked his day shift and was flying home. Ernie Johnson's on the desk, and he sends me a text. He's like, "I'm on my flight. I'm watching the early goings of." I think he was watching the early goings of the Duke South Carolina game as another game was ending. And he's like, "You would think I would know what to watch and when, but your update told me, oh, go over and watch another channel, because it was tied with 4 minutes left." So, you know, it's really a cool adventure to have all four games on at once, or three games on at once as we get into the second round. But you got a lot of the big names are hanging out. Everyone's bracket, except for mine, was pretty much still intact heading into Sunday. Yeah. Except if you pick Villanova to be going pretty far. I had Duke-Louisville in the championship game, so that's why I'm toast. Ooh. But I think until Sunday, a lot of people still had a pretty strong bracket going. And you know, I don't have the explanations for why it's most watched, but I sure get it, because I don't stop watching it myself.
Well, I've really enjoyed your updates, as well as you're watching a game and you'll pop in and give us an update of another game going on. I don't know if I've liked that the most during the tournament, Adam, or the promos featuring Greg and the rest of the cast with the wedding reception singer from the Hangover movie. I mean, those things are classic.
I'll tell him you said that, and he gave me a preview of a couple more that are still to come. And the one I've seen that's still to come is my favorite, one of the two. And they're hilarious. And he gave me the whole lowdown on the shoot. And I think it's just I said, is wheeling around an amplifier your new workout? He goes, "Oh, it's really good for the chest and the core." Greg is one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And, you know, he's been doing this with the tournament for over two decades. And I just remember going to Syracuse and watching them and getting ready for the tournament and putting on that show. And, you know, to me, like, Greg Gumbel just has always defined the tournament in my life, because as a broadcaster and for what the tournament is, where you have teams being eliminated and they weren't even always on TV, Greg Gumbel had to take you there. But he said he had a great quote in an article about how the expansion to four channels took a lot of pressure off of him because people thought he had some power crank underneath the desk that decided that everyone in Kansas City can't watch the end of the Jayhawks game anymore, or that everyone in Lexington can't watch the final minute of a Kentucky blowout, even though they really want to, and he's going to take them to this other game. So he's like, darn you, Greg Gumbel.
But he's
just the best. He is the best. I don't know how else to say it. And just a great guy to be around.
Well, good journalist as you are as well. And as a journalist, I know you're in the, you've got a nose for a good story. And to me, one of the great stories so far of this tournament is Frank Martin and South Carolina. I would imagine that plays very well amongst the nation right now in terms of interest, that win over Duke especially.
I think that story, the two seven seeds, I would say that the South Carolina story and the Michigan story, for what happened with them and having their whole lives flash in front of them when their plane went off the runway, and how they've become this refocused group, are two of the great stories. And South Carolina having that game 90 minutes from campus, you know, the seeds kind of do that little... The seeds kind of flow like that DNA chart, and lo and behold, South Carolina wound up going to Greenville, and that's 90 minutes from their campus and 100 and so miles further from Duke than Greensboro would have been, and it played a role. And you had North Carolina fans alongside South Carolina fans rooting against Duke, North Carolina fans rooting for South Carolina, but mostly against Duke. And so Frank Martin... a story was relayed to me by one of our insiders, Gary Parrish. When Frank Martin left Kansas State amidst, not a really good working relationship there to go to South Carolina, he was told by another coach, Gary Parrish was told by another SEC coach that winning there would be impossible.
Mm.
Impossible. And he relayed that to Frank Martin, and Frank Martin said that he was just too dumb and stubborn to know better. But I think he's selling himself short. He's a funny guy, man. He has that stare down that you just think, oh my goodness, I cannot even, like, I don't know how I would ever be able to talk to this guy. And I remember this when I found out the first time he was coming into the studio as a special guest. I was like, oh man, this guy's really intense. Like, I know I'm intense, but this guy's really intense. He comes in, he's like a teddy bear. He was great. And he's from that Bob Huggins coaching tree that Brad Underwood is also from. And I'm so happy for him and Sindarius Thornwell. And I know it's not football, but there's a whole big part of me for all the football we do together that's sitting there at that update desk watching these screens and looking at Greenville, South Carolina, where Arkansas really shoulda, coulda won against North Carolina. And South Carolina beat Duke. And it happened to coincide with the fact that they had to cross the border playing these games from what I think of as ACC country in North Carolina into, you know, shared territory in South Carolina. Clemson's pretty much around the corner there. Mm-hmm. But it was, I thought it was a special night. And so, I don't know, boys. I don't know. Did the SEC save its mojo for the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten as well? And then the ACC cashed its in for football. It's
We're wondering about that. We talked about it earlier. You got three SEC teams left in the tournament out of 16. And yeah, the SEC's been taking their lumps, but
ACC's got one.
Yeah, no kidding.
ACC's got one out of nine survived the first weekend.
And we could have an SEC Elite Eight matchup if Florida and South Carolina can take care of business later this week.
You could have, if one of them makes it all the way, you could have Kentucky meeting them there, which I wouldn't normally suggest is going to happen again. But my bracket is literally in last place.
Well, about Kentucky, though, Adam, I've been tooting the praises of Purdue since the start of the tournament. So I got them in the Sweet 16, so I can't get off the Boilermaker train just yet. I got to go upset Boilermakers over Kentucky.
First Purdue has to face Kansas, and then
that's right. I'm sorry.
We'll see what goes from there. Mm-hmm. But it's funny you say that. You know, I've told you guys that my kids became Tennessee fans midway through the fall because we showed Tennessee on CBS and they had all those dramatic finishes. So my son and my daughter are at these ages of influence. I put on games and they're immediately like, I love this team. So I told Max, my son, I told him about Biggie Swanigan on Purdue, about how he was like just this enormous kid, and he was like another 100 pounds heavier than he is now. And we watched him, and like, so now my son, even though I married into a Penn State family, my son is just all about Purdue. He just, I don't know if he likes saying it, but he's all about Purdue. So my son has Purdue in the Elite Eight. I think he has him in the Final Four. I had Iowa State there, okay? Ooh. My daughter, with my wife's help, filled out a bracket where my daughter has Florida beating Kentucky in the national championship game. And I had, like, East Tennessee State upsetting Florida. You know, I had every cross-out you could possibly have. Like, I had Middle Tennessee over Butler. I had Notre Dame beating West Virginia and then beating Vanderbilt, who I had beating Gonzaga. Like, I'm a mess. So ooh. I'm not even qualified to be on your show.
No, I'm not. But of course, our phones are blowing up, Adam, that you reveal that your children like Tennessee. That didn't go over real well in the Bama Nation.
State of Alabama, yeah.
Oh, no. It's not like that at all. They don't know that by rooting for one, they can't root for more.
Yes. Well,
my son has an Alabama fans parking only sign. My daughter has a Razorbacks, like, exercise bag.
I love it.
Because she loves pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So when I told her, like, hey, these are all the teams that Daddy talks about, she goes, are there any piggies? She's
that's
4 years old.
Fact. Uh-huh.
And then, alongside the Alabama fan parking only sign, my son has this little miniature Auburn jersey that he likes to wear when we have a pass. But he doesn't know any better. He's young. Nice. He can decide when he's older.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, final question in about a minute and a half. Do you like the looks of Kentucky so far, Adam?
Well, I know they won ugly. I know that there was the fewest points they've scored in a win, and I think that they could be in some trouble with UCLA. Mm. The defense was great. I think if there was another second on the clock, I was giving Wally some grief because on CBS he gave Bam Adebayo all the credit in the world for leaving Francamp alone to come over to assist with the block on Landry Shamet. But if Shamet had actually just never pump faked and seen what had happened with the switch,
right,
he might have been able to pass to the open man for a game-winning shot. So Kentucky, you know, that was pretty close against Wichita State, whether Wichita was seeded worse than they should have been or whatever. But, man, look, UCLA won at Rupp Arena, so... If you made me pick one of these two teams, I would probably pick the Bruins.
I would too.
Well, Adam, as I mentioned before we got on the air, even though the Sweet 16 begins on Thursday, spring football begins in Tuscaloosa today, and around here that was the lead in the newspaper, and we've talked about it a lot as well. So we're keeping the basketball mojo going, but When Saban gets them on the practice field, you know what people are talking about down here, down south.
Oh, no doubt. Well, that is your local story. It's funny with me because you go from 68 teams quickly to 64, but 64 down to 16, and as you run out of teams in the hunt, you know, some of the buzz actually wears off, even though you're getting closer to the national championship. I kind of get that. And, you know, once you go from these 16 to just 4, more people will have their brackets gone. You know, you'll get a couple stories coming out of spring football camp. I get it. You got to have it's why we've got two eyes in our heads, one for football, one for basketball this time of year.
That's exactly right. Great to hear from you, Adam. Love your work, and look forward to the Sweet 16 and beyond in the NCAA basketball tournament. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, no doubt, guys. Be well.
Hey, we'll talk soon, Adam. Thank you so much. Great stuff. Adam Zucker, CBS.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.